My, my, my. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Revelation. B.R. Lakin would call it the book of the Revelation. Book of Revelation. Last few weeks, I've been preaching on this verse in Revelation 1:19, where John is told by the Lord to write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. We talked about the next great events and God's timetable down through the coming ages and what to expect as far as the rapture, the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the millennial reign of Christ. Of course, the second advent there at the end of the tribulation. So many wonderful things ahead and for some folks a scary time ahead. And then we look back through history. When the Lord showed up, the law was given. It seemed like throughout history, religion has always failed. Man has always failed in their attempts to please God. The animal sacrifices couldn't do it. An angel couldn't do it. The law couldn't do it because folks couldn't keep the law. Abraham lied about his sister. Noah ended up drunk in a cave. Adam took on the sin of his bride. Hebrew, just everyone has blown it down through history. And now after the Jew, the Lord turned to the Gentiles. And now we'll talk a little bit about the church today. And if you would, go to Revelation 1, chapter 1. And the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Heavenly Father, we love you today, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace, and Lord, surely the time is at hand, Lord. We pray for your return, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and we look forward to your return, Lord. We look forward to that great calling out of the bride of Christ, Lord, and we know that the times are ripe for your coming, Lord. So we pray for that, Lord, and comfort ourselves with these words. Hold me up by the power of the cross today, Lord, and give me unction to preach, and let your spirit rule the day, Lord, in the preaching and in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, as they hear the word of God, Father. Bless each one here as you promise in this text that there's a blessing to those who hear and to read this prophecy. All this we ask in Jesus' name and in his strength. Amen. Now, a couple of things I want to notice early on here in the book of Revelation. First of all, that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not John's revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John to give to the church. In Revelation 1:1, it says a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. So understand that the revelation is not from John, but is rather given to John. This is the Apostle John, not John the Baptist. He's referred to by some as John the Revelator, given to John from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, I want you to notice in verse 3 that there is a blessing. There's a blessing for anyone who reads this book, this prophecy, this book of Revelation, along with anyone who hears it, and also for anyone who keeps the things that are written therein. Blessed is he that readeth, it says in verse 3, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written herein, therein. Then the Lord concludes the verse with the phrase, for the time is at hand. Now then the Lord in chapter 3, he begins to take John down through the ages or periods of church history. Many of the theologians think that these letters to the churches are actually periods of church history throughout the ages, and they may be right about that. It is also local churches in the tribulation. Is that right, Brother Phil? These churches are actually local churches during the tribulation period. But he says, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And we looked at the things that have been with the Jew rejecting their Messiah. The Bible says he came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, that's you and me, and that's whosoever will, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we looked before at the coming events on God's timetable, but today I want to look for a few minutes at the church and some of the church history and where we're at today. No doubt the church of the Laodicean age, the Laodicean church. The word Laodicea means civil rights, the rights of the people. And that's the age we live in. Everyone has to have their rights. You have to have your rights. Now, for many years, some of you know, I was a policeman, and after I got on the police department, Joyce started nursing school. We hadn't been married too long, and I learned when Joyce would start in on me, I would say, "Now, Joyce, you have the right to remain silent." But we all have our rights, and she'd tell me, "You have the right to get your head knocked off, too," is what she would tell me, so... So if those commentators are right about this periods of the church periods, and I agree with that assessment, let's look at what the Lord told John to write about what the church would be like in the age that we live in. Now, I'll remind you, the church does not have a stellar history. I've been reading a book by Vance called The Other Side of Calvinism. It's a book about that thick, and it talks about the early church with the Catholic and the Reformation movement and the Anabaptist. And man, they all fought like cats and dogs. No, everybody hated each other, it seems like. They claimed that Calvin had a guy named Servetus burned at the stake. What's that all about? Because he didn't agree with him. We live in a time today, look at our political climate. If somebody disagrees with someone politically, they want to kill them. Man, humankind is a mess. And we've always been a mess. And everything that man has put his hand to, every institution that man has tried to control, has gone downhill and turned to apostasy. They just never get it right. Religion didn't get it right. All those early church fathers, they were more concerned about their apologetics and eschatology and hermeneutics. They were concerned about everything except the hearts of men and the free gift of salvation by Jesus Christ. And they fought all the time. Folks getting burned at the stake. With the folks writing the Bible, they hated that. They didn't want anybody reading the Bible. They just wanted everybody to believe like they believe. Hey, you can't make a man believe something. You know, instead of a church covenant, we have a stand that we list in our bylaws and constitution. Here's where we stand. Because if it says something that I don't necessarily believe, I couldn't join that church. But I can stand. If that's where their stand is, I'm okay with that. Because it's hard to get three men to agree on a lot of things. And God gave us this book, and every man's accountable to the Word of God. That's a final authority. It has a final say. Now, your spin on it might be a little different than mine, your take on it. Brother Jeremiah and I have had some conversation that I see some things he don't see, and then he sees some things that I just don't see in Scripture. That's okay. That's okay. That's a good debate. But knowing that God is a final authority. But I want to look down through history and where we're at today. Now, the Lord is not speaking about a local assembly when he's talking about the churches here or the church. And the last time, the Laodicean church is not just one local assembly. It's the age and the churches in this age. And let me clarify that. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, the manifestation of that spiritual body of believers is the local, visible, physical, material church. The local church. It's a manifestation of the spiritual body of Christ. So here Paul is instructed, or the Apostle John instructed to write to the Laodicean church. He says in Revelation 3:14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke, and chasten, and zealous. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with the Father in his throne. That's a lot of doctrinally speaking to that church in the tribulation period. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here the first thing the Lord has John write about is the age of the Laodiceans. It's all about us, our rights. In the fact that the church as a whole in this age is neither cold nor hot, but rather lukewarm. And God says it just makes him sick. He wants to spew it out of his mouth. Man, the church has gone downhill. We're so apostate that the churches that name the name of Christ, filled with effeminate preachers and ordaining a bunch of foolishness, and God says it just makes him sick. Then after that, the Lord goes on to tell John some of the things that makes him sick of the church today. He said, because thou sayest in verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church today, we have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Ever learning without ever being able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Having a zeal of God but not according to knowledge. Hey, the only works for these, that not only works for these high-priced, high-toned, high-minded churches, but that also works for high-toned, high-minded, self-righteous Christians. Those early Christians, man, they just thought they were right and everybody else is wrong. Don't fall into that trap. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. They may not see things exactly like you do. You stand your ground. You stick to the Bible truth. It says a heretic after first or second admonition, you reject him. You say, well, here's what I see in Scripture, and you live with it. Don't say, because you don't believe like I believe, we're going to kill you. That's what some of those Eastern religions are doing. They want to kill everybody that don't believe like them. That's foolishness. But we have those big mega churches today, a lot of churches of different faiths. Some of them preach the book, some of them don't. But it isn't the numbers that God's looking at. It's not the quantity. God's looking at the quality. When that judgment seat of Christ, every man's work will be judged of what sort it is. What's your motive? Are you concerned? Are you burdened down for the things that Christ was burdened down for? Are you more burdened down with religious ritual and all those things, the religion, the knowing what sacrament is which and what, man, it gets pretty crazy. And it gets that way because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. And man, the church worldwide, man, there's a ton of them. And we've got PowerPoint presentations. We've got TV ministries, radio ministries, internet ministries, blogs, YouTube, Facebook ministries. I might start a Twitter ministry. I think every time President Trump tweets something, I'll tweet something right back. I got about as much business doing that as a hog does with a songbook. I don't know where that phrase came from. I think maybe Jeff's dad. I don't know. The Lord told John, said, "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" Hey, we've strayed from the book, strayed from the Word of God, strayed from the circumspection of the sanctity of that Word of God. I think that started around 1880. All the new Bibles started being printed, and more souls been saved out of that old book than all the other new versions put together. And a fellow said, "Well, I don't think that's a big deal." Well, maybe it isn't, but I do know that God said He magnifies His word above His name. I don't know that I get all that. That's what He said. I'm afraid to mess with that book. I'm just going to read it and believe it. I may not always live by it, but that's between me and the Lord. We try to rightly divide the word of truth, as the Bible says. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We try to do that and rightly divide it. Some of that book's to the Jew, some of it is to the Gentile, and some of it's to the church of God. We try to rightly divide it, and what you do with it is between you and the Lord. We don't try to tell you where to go or who to run with or what to do or this or that. We tell you, thus saith the Scriptures. Here's what God says. And then we come together as believers trying to live like that book tells us to live. Trying to live like the Bible tells us to live. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right. Do right. Do what you ought to do. As a Christian, live like the Bible says a Christian ought to live. The Lord said about this Laodicean church that we would be in a mess, and we certainly are. You look back to that Philadelphian church in Revelation 3:8. That is the time the great revivals in America, the Lord commended them for keeping His word. Not this generation. My, my, my. The Lord said that this church crowd today has it in their heads that they don't need anything. No final authority, no spiritual power. Man, they've got it all. They don't need any of that stuff from God. When in fact, the Lord says they're wretched and miserable, and they just don't have sense enough to know it. You ever been around somebody who thought that they knew something and they didn't? And not only that, but they didn't know that they didn't know. That's the worst part. When you run into somebody that don't know that they don't know, you're almost wasting your time. But this lukewarm, miserable crowd can hardly even get them to pray in the name of Jesus today. I remember hearing this preached years ago that when this country was founded, it was founded on the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh, and sessions of Congress were open in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Then some fellows came along and said, "Well, everybody here don't believe in Jesus, so let's just pray in the name of God." And then some folks came along a little later who don't believe in God, so most places now just do a moment of silence. What's that? That don't glorify man or God. That don't glorify anything. No, it's not. That thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Hey, every institution, I mentioned every institution in the history of the world that man has tried to control is by default destined to apostasy. We don't evolve, we've devolved. Because carnal man is a mess, everything that man puts his hand to becomes a mess. And that includes the church. America, along with the rest of the world, has embraced a church that bears little resemblance to the called out assembly of Jesus Christ. Don't look much like the called out assembly. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Paul said in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Is that us? I hope it's all of us. But the Lord says that the church as a whole today is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The Lord said, you've left the first works. My. You look down through history and folks have left the things of those issues of the heart that our Lord was most concerned with. Issues of the heart, the burden for lost souls, folks dying and going to hell, that free offer of salvation and pardon and redemption that we just neglect to tell people about today. Revelation 3:18 on our text said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore and repent. The Lord said in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Folks, the time is at hand. And the evolution of church is an evolution toward carnality. We haven't evolved toward spirituality. We've evolved toward carnality. I don't know that any Bible-believing preacher in the world would disagree with that statement I just made. It's a carnal evolution. A little, the church becomes a little more worldly, and the world tried to become a little churchy. And it's just to the point, it just makes God want to throw up. The time is at hand. The rights of the people. We're in an age that we want to give preeminence to individual rights and opinions, philosophies. And we have a tendency to view God on our own terms with little or no regard for what he says. Well, God teaches it. What's he say? You tell me what he said, and I'll figure out what it's teaching. And God calls preachers and teachers and evangelists. Remember Philip? He pulled up next to that Ethiopian eunuch. And that eunuch's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? God calls men to the ministry. We're here to guide them in the word, not in opinions, philosophies. That fella got saved. That was a black fella, that Ethiopian. And you know, it's my understanding that Ethiopia was a Christian nation until about 1966 with the death of Haile Selassie. From that one meeting where one person was saved. My. We've evolved to the point that God is on the outside knocking on the church's door trying to get in. We'll go to great extremes to keep from offending man today. We have little or no regard at all for offending God. Oh, we don't want to offend somebody. But it's easy for us with no conscience to offend the God of glory. In verse 20 it says, behold, I stand at the door. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The Lord's outside the church today. Said, why don't you just let me in? If you'll just let me in. Born Again did that song. Did Dale Tilley write that song where the door is on the inside? Pardon? Handle's on the inside. Oh, yeah, let me get that right. You've got to open the door. God's there. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Doctrinally speaking here, that's the Lord addressing the church in the age we live in today. And it's the only place in Scripture where the church is referred to as a building. We're not a temple. We're not a synagogue. We're a local church of believers. As the Lord is outside, He's knocking, trying just to get someone to let Him in today. And we as a church, we've embraced a lot of things. We can be politically correct. We can build big churches with lots of money. We can have a zeal for God. You can do all that and still be cold and indifferent to a lost and dying world and the craziness of the life we live in and the need for Jesus Christ. Folks need Jesus Christ. We see it in our addictions program. The only thing really that really works for those folks is Jesus Christ. There's a lady who started in our RU program, Reformers Unanimous program, many years ago when we first got started here. I think we were the first addictions program in the county. Larry Kaplinger was involved in that back in the day. And this girl had been in prison for 8 or 10 years out of her life, and she is 21, 22 years, wasn't old at all. As a juvenile, spent time locked up. She said she was a hopeless heroin addict. She came here, she said she'd been through all the programs, she had tried them all, said, but this, the only thing that ever worked was a program that pointed her toward Jesus Christ. That was several years ago. She has a kid who just started school this year after being told that she couldn't have kids. She found an old biker guy, a few years older than she was, who had been through all the party stuff and was done with it. And they got married. They've got a new home, and they've got a kid in school, and he works like a dog, and they have a happy family because of Jesus Christ. I led both of them to the Lord, baptized both of them here. God's the answer, doing it God's way. Not getting stuck on a religion. Religion has damned more people to hell probably than anything. That's a crowd that the devil works in. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. We need to get back to the things, those issues of the heart that our Lord was concerned with. He said, man looketh on the outside, but God looketh upon the heart. Man looketh upon the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Where is your heart today? Is your heart tender toward the lost? How many tears have you cried for some family member that is lost? The Bible says that the Lord puts our tears in a bottle and writes them down in a book. Psalms 50, around Psalms 58, it says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not written in thy book? Every tear. When I face God, He's going to bring to remembrance every tear that I ever shed and the motive for those tears. We need to get back to the things of God. We need to stick to the stuff. The Word of God. Not be some Laodicean weak, limp-wristed church. When the Bible told that, Lord told that crowd one time, said, quit yourself like men. And what, Joshua? Did Joshua say that? We need to stand up for God and what He stands for. Not what this world stands for. Not what the political correct crowd stands for. The elite national news media. I could care less about that crowd. I want to be something for Jesus. I want to be something for the cause of Christ. I just turned 70 years old. I guess you can say now that our preacher is over 70. And my only thought during this past week was, I pray that I am still relevant to the cause of Christ. Are you relevant to the cause of Christ? I mean, I know you've got a lot of other things going on, but is your life relevant to the cause of Christ? The church has come a long way in the wrong direction. We need to get back. God told John, God said, here's how it's going to be, and he was right. He's always right. I think we as a church ought to rededicate ourselves to the things of God, to God's word, and trying to live like God wants us to live. Maybe you're here today and you never trusted Christ for salvation. What are you waiting on? Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. You want to get saved? Just say it. Lord, I want to get saved. I know I'm a mess. I know I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. You say, preacher, it can't be that easy. If that comes from the heart, it's that easy. Everyone stand up this morning. I'm done. Man, I'm way over time. Jeff, why didn't you say something? Yeah, okay. All right, amen. God is good. The altar's open this morning. If you've never trusted Christ, why don't you step out and do that today? Just say, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to get saved. Lord won't refuse you. Why would he refuse you after what he did on the cross? He said, whosoever will, let him come. And whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Won't you come? As we sing.